to determine. This is a promise of His coming. We might have a little trouble here distinguishing whether He's talking about the rapture of the church. He doesn't say that He actually, but we know the judgment takes place at the end of the 7-year tribulation. And so I think that it could be one in both. And so keep turning now and go over to Matthew 24. And we're going to be talking a great deal about 24 a little bit later. But I want us to go down in chapter 24 to verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. Have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever been in a lightning storm and you saw that it moved from one side of the sky all the way across the sky? Maybe it's over in the southern sky or the northern sky, but it starts on one side and it just races across, and the lightning goes all the way across the sky. And you think, man, God's given us a lot of stuff to look at here. But how, have you ever tried to time it? How quickly one flash of that takes place. Just as it starts here and races across the sky, it's gone just like that. I mean, it just, there's another one that starts in perhaps and another one after that. But that one flash of lightning that started here and rushed across the sky, it just happened so quick and so fast that I've never tried to time it, but it must just be like the flash, like the blink of an eye. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Quickly, quickly, all at once. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the angels be gathered, the eagles be gathered together, or the vultures be gathered together. Okay, watch closely. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, he's moved into a new event. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the 7-year tribulation, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Is that taking place? That's not taking place. And the stars shall fall from heaven. Now, we've seen a meteorite shower, but we have not seen the stars fall from heaven. And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. This is the glorious appearing, with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now, move on over to John's Gospel. So keep in mind, he is coming. He is coming to rapture the church, and then he's coming to set foot on this earth and set up rule on this church, on this earth. John 14, and this is a marvelous, marvelous verse. And I'll get to it. John 14, look at verse 2. Let's see. John 14. I'm in the right place. John 14, 2. I'm going to get to Acts 1 there. John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Now let's just keep reading. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now turn to Acts This is the verse that I was really talking about. That's a good verse. There's nothing wrong with that verse. Acts, Romans. Acts 1. And look at verse 9 through verse 11. Acts 1. Look at verse 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So he is coming again. He has promised it over and over and over again. I want us to back up a little bit to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And I want us to look at I want to try to find this verse. I don't want to be trying to study here while you're paying attention. Verse 24. Chapter 24. The disciples had asked Jesus two questions. When he talked about the destruction of the temple, he said that there's not any of these rocks going to be left on top of one another. They're all going to be, this temple's going to be torn down. And they talked about how long it took to take this, to build this temple. And he said, all this is going to be destroyed. All this is going to be destroyed. And the Lord's going to come back. And they asked him two questions. One is about the time. And the other is about the sign. What will be the signs of that time? And so he talks about, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So there's going to be deception about that time. "For many shall come in my name and saying, 'I'm Christ,' and shall deceive many." And we've seen that happen over and over again. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Now these are, is what Jesus said. These are just going to be the beginning of the birth pain. These are just going to be happening. And when you hear about a war breakout, you know, people thought that when World War One started, that was the end of time, that was going to be the end of time. But Jesus didn't say that was the end of time. He said it was the beginning of the birth pains. So sure enough, when World War II comes along, they thought, surely to goodness, this is the sign of the end of time. But World War II came and it passed. And so Jesus says here, there's wars and there's rumors of wars. "See then that you be not trouble, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation shall rise against nation, a kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of the sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." We think that it is strange because all the world hates Christians. And here Jesus said, this is just a sign of the time. This is just the way that it is. That the world is going to hate Christianity and they'll lose their life. Christians will lose their life because of Christianity. I think that there will come a time in the nation in which you and I live, as if it stands, that it'll be against the law for us to meet as we're meeting here today. Matter of fact, in some cities, it's against the law for you to have a church meeting in your home. They create a city ordinance against a gathering like that. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. He goes ahead and talks about all the other things that are going to take place. We're living in the midst of those times. And here Jesus has told us in this 24th chapter to be careful about those false signs. In Mark, the 13th chapter and verse 10, he tells us that the gospel is to be preached unto all the world. In Luke 21, verse 25 through verse 28, he talks about the signs in heaven. And I think that those signs are taking place. He's not giving us the sign. I think the sign of the sun being done away with, the moon being done away with, is going to take place during the tribulation. But I think that he has told us that there's going to be great other signs in heaven that are not those signs, but other great signs in heaven. Well, what should be the attitude of a believer, of the church, knowing that we're living in these days? What we try to scare people into being saved because we tell them that the rapture is going to be any second and they're going to have to get saved. I don't think that you can scare people into it. I've tried every tactic that there is, and I don't think that you can scare folks into being saved. I think that without the work of the Holy Spirit in an individual's life, their life is not going to be changed, and they are not going to be saved. But he does give us in the scripture, he tells us what the church is to be about until he comes. So you and I can know our job, what we ought to do. I don't think that we need to go into some kind of commune and build our own little city and all of us move in there and build walls around it and no one can get to us and have our own little garden. I don't think that's what God teaches in his word at all. Matter of fact, he tells us we learn in the gospel in the Sunday school this morning that they were to spread the gospel to all the known world. And they weren't supposed to stop at Babel. They just keep going. The church is just to keep going. We're to just keep going. We're not to stop and try to create some kind of place where some kind of utopia for Christians to live in. We're to spread the gospel. I see these fenced-in housing projects that they have for Christians, and I'm wondering if that's scriptural or not. If that's what ought to be taking place, we ought to be out in the world and sharing the gospel with a lost and a dying world. I'm telling you, we're not supposed to act like them. We're not supposed to talk like them. We're not supposed to be like them. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. But he also tells us to share the glorious gospel with everyone that we see. So that is what the church has to be about. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in verse 7, we're to wait for his coming. We just wait. Let that timing be his timing. In Titus 2 and verse 13, we are to look for it. We are to be anticipating his coming. People will say, well, everybody's been looking for it. Well, we're to look for it. I mean, we're 2,000 years closer, church, than we have ever been to his coming. We're to look for it. Matthew 24 tells us we're to be ready.